Okay, we're taping today is February 3rd, and we're taping Dibri Hayamim Bet, and we're up to Perek Tesvav and Dibri Hayamim Bet. Okay. Azaryahu ben Odeid Hayisa'al of Ruach Elokim. Okay, you have that? Have you that? Okay, so let's just make sure that we have that. Of course, there's no malachim to balance this. It's amazing how so much of malachim is not that's not in Dibri Yamin, and so much of Dibri Yamin that's not in malachim, and we're in that sort of that you see, we're still in that no man's zone until Paradise Zion. Okay. So these are the Malachim texts that would be around this time, but there's no parallel in Dibri Yamim. So that's why it's always good to have this sefer in front of you to know that you're mamish learning new things. Malachim chose not to tell us any about this. We talked last week about what this means in terms of the Masorah. What did the Nevi'im have? What sources were they working with? Okay, Vazayo ben Odeid Hayisa'al of Ruach Elokim. There was a prophet named with this name. And the Spirit of God came upon him. This is what he said. And he went before Asa. And remember from last week, Asa is a good king, right? Certainly compared to those before him. Right? And we'll see that there's some things towards the end of his life that that went somewhat not according to plan. Okay? All right, you have it? Okay. So Vayetzei lifnei Asa v'yamer lo Shmauni Asa v'chol Yehuda v'nyamin Hashem imachem v'yoschem imo v'al tidrushu yometzei lachem v'al tazvu yazov eschem.
I just had that you were talking about Azaryahu and Asa's parents, and then, so you touched on the beginning of...
I was looking at Aleph, that's why I didn't see what we're up to. But I have here that we got up to Pasuk Yud. So Asa's parents were very bad. His father was an idolater. His mother, very rarely does the Melachim or Dibri Yamim tell us anything about the king's mother. It just says her name. But here we're told that Asa's mother had a group. I mean, it's so funny. Today, I see these knitting groups. She had a group of weavers together to weave tapestries to Avodah Zarah. So that was their knitting group for Avodah Zarah. So the prophet came to Asa to say, you have to rid the nation of these abominations. It's not just enough to asay tov. You have to sur meira. Yeah, right. Sur meira v'asay tov. Right, it says here, "Veichadesh es mizbach Hashem asher lifnei ulam Hashem." Let's just read pasuk ches. Kishmoa Asa hadvim ha'ela. When Asa heard the words of the prophet, that he said to that you have to clean things up, and things have gotten the moral situation has devolved. So he said. So when Asa heard these things, v'anavua odeid hanavi. When he heard this prophecy, he became strong. He became chizuk to have the strength to feel that he can stand up to these evils, and that he can have his way with it. And he removed all the disgusting things from Yehuda and Binyamin, and all the cities even that he conquered from the northern tribes from Ephraim. Now, as I said, there's nothing in Melachim that says this. Vayechadesh es mizbach Hashem seems to imply
that the
one they were using needed a chiddush. This is like a Hanukkah story. Vayechadesh es mizbach Hashem means that something the day before he did this was not in use. So yes, it means that the mizbeach itself fell into disrepair and disuse. So close to its building. so close to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. I digress for a moment because this may be a very crucial pasuk, but not one I'm going to delve in as it should, but just to this inyan, but I just want to mention it to you, is that the last pasuk in Sefer Daniel, the last two pasukim, says to count a certain amount of years after the Mizbeach is no longer in use, and after that amount of time, your salvation shall come. So everybody counts those years. It's 1390, 1225. They make the cheshbon. How to count the years is one thing. But you count those years from the time that the Mizbeach falls out of use. So the Malbim at the end of Daniel says this is what everyone, this is when everyone makes mistakes about the years of the arrival of Mashiach. You're not supposed to, but people do it anyway, is because they're making a mistake about when to start the counting. You can't know when to make a cheshbon until you know when to start. You don't know when 70 years is over unless you know when did the 70 years start. So the Malbim lists places in our history where the Mizbeach fell out of use. And he mentions five times in history. Okay? Going backwards, he says the Roman destruction, the Hanukkah story, the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, right? Ochoz, during the reign of Ochoz, it says the temple fell out of use, and Ataliah. Remember that was the woman who killed all of David's descendants, and she ruled for 6 years. The Mishkan was out of use. But according to this, this looks like this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, like this is another time when it says Vayichadesh es Mizbach Hashem. Wouldn't you think that that's another time that it needed a chiddush? Right.
So where was
that? What a shame that the Malbim does not even comment on what Vayichadesh means. Come on, he himself says in Daniel, he counts the five times, and he mentions what years those were, and he picks up all five of them, and he says, in my opinion, the one that Daniel is talking about is the time of Ochoz. Why? Because adding all those years to the time of Ochoz got him to 1915, which was close enough to his own time. He claimed that 1915 would be a world war, because he says that from the Nevuos it means that everyone's involved. Gog and Magog is gematria 70, because it would be a war involving the whole world. And he predicted it would involve Germany. Why? Not Ashkenaz, but Magog. Magog is Germany. Because Ashkenaz is correct, yes. Because Magog is Ashkenaz in Parshas Noach, the brothers. They're from the same family, so... He says, Gog and Magog is Yechezkel's way of saying Ashkenaz. So he said it would be involving Germany, it would be a world war, and it would be in 1915. Because the years that Daniel says, from Ochaz, why Ochaz more than these other dates to start? For one thing, if you started from Bayis Sheni, that would put you too very far away. If you started from Bayis Rishon, it would also put you very far away. Right? Even Bayis Rishon. But he said, if you start from Ochoz, before Churban Bayis Rishon, then it would be this.
No wonder my father loved
this much. Oh yeah, okay, so this is very interesting. So, but the reason why he says he prefers Ochoz is because Daniel doesn't just say count from the time the Mizbeach needs a chiddush, when the Mizbeach fell out of use. No. He says, remember the Lashon, you ever learned the end of Daniel? It says, Shikutz Shomein. That it was shikutz, but don't we use the same pasuk here? Yeah, but yavera shikutzim, shikutz shamem. It's not just that the mizbeach fell out of use. The mizbeach became a shikutz. It became for pigs. It became human beings. And that happened in Ochoz's time. The other times it just fell out of use. The Romans and the Babylonians just destroyed it. It wasn't used for something else. They just destroyed the whole place. Atalia just said, no more Kabbalah, excuse me, we're not going to use this place anymore. But the one that made it a shikutz, but wait a second, Malba. The Hanukkah story was also a shikutz. Right? The Greeks made a shikutz.
They made it disgusting.
They made it pigs, eh? But I understand why he's using achaz. If you would start from those years, from the Hanukkah story, that's 500 years from now. Okay, I'm just putting it out there that this. I would have liked to see the Malbim say something here. Why does it have to say Vayechadeshes Mizbach Hashem? Unless it was always in use, but it became, you know, no one was maintaining it. Vayechadesh. All right, I'm just putting it out there.
Does it use the word Chadesh in all the others except for the one for ourselves?
So Vayechadesh from the Hanukkah story, I don't have a Tanakh. Bayis Sheni, I don't have it. It's never been done since then. But after Bayis Rishon, by Nehemiah and Ezra, we have to see. I'm sure there's the Vayechaneich, yeah, what Ezra and Nehemiah did is they renewed the...
They rebuilt,
yeah. So, in Chanukah story, the word Chanukah comes from Chinuch, which is to put to use once again. That's what Chinuch is, education, is to put this person to use. Vayorek es Chanichov, Rashi says, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram took those men to help redeem Lot. So it says they're called chanichov because they put to use. That's why you call an animal's eye teeth, they're called chanichim, because they put the food to use. Okay, that's a little tangent here. Vayikbots, pasuk tes. Vayikbots says, Kol Yehuda v'Nyamin v'Agorim imayim Ephraim u'Menashe u'Mishimon. They gathered all the people from Yehuda and Binyamin, and all the people from Ephraim and Asher and Shimon. See, this pasuk is great. This pasuk shows that Shimon is with Yehuda. Right? We talked about that last week, if you recall. Ki naflu alav miYisrael larov berosam ki Hashem elokav imo. Many of the people from the north just fell in defeat when they saw that God was with the Yehuda, because also was a good king. I told you many times, this is Divrei Yamim. Everything Divrei Yamim is, you call out to God, you need to watch how quickly you get answered. Vayikavtu Yisrael Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha-shlishi lishnas chamesh esrei l'malchus Asa. And they all gathered in Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's Malchus. Asa ruled over 40 years, so there's plenty more to go. ויזבחו להשם ביום ההוא מן השלול הביאו בקור 700 וצון 7,000. 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep they offered. I think we ended with that last time, is that they ate it. These are not olos, they ate it. ויבואו בבריס לדרושס השם אלוקי אבוסיהם בכל לבבם ובכל נפשם. And they entered the bris of God to seek God. Lidrosh, it's an important terminology. To seek out God with all their hearts and all their souls. Notice that in the singular chapter of Shema, it says, B'chol Nafshecha, I'm sorry, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Me'odecha. But whenever we speak in plural, like in the second parasha, U'lavdo B'chol Levavchem, U'v'chol Nafshechem, Favosnish B'chol Me'odchem, why does our pasuk only say B'chol Levavam, U'v'chol Nafsham, why not B'chol Me'odam?
That's on life. No, it's your wealth, and so not everybody has it.
Right. So you can't say ma'odam to the plural. So the Gemara makes different drashas about what did ma'odecha mean, b'chol ma'od shelcha, with all your wealth, with all your resources. So the individuals may be able to serve God, b'chol ma'odecha, to some individuals. But to say that everyone should do that, never. You couldn't. Not everyone can be the Vilna Gaon, but you can have individuals that can strive to such a spiritual existence. But you never find the ode, very rarely in singular, but a few times in singular, but you never find it in plural. Okay. Alright, okay. V'chol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you must. Whoever does not seek out God, you must. Whoa. Min katon v'gadol l'me'ish v'adisha. You must doesn't mean, I can't believe it would mean you shall be put to death. It means ought to die.
Will die.
Does it say, it says will die in your thing?
No, it doesn't say
ought to die.
But this is my interpretation.
Would be
put to death. Would be put to death. Yeah, okay, would be. You know, it says Ve'osa lo ksones pasim. The correct translation should be he would make him. Better by Eov, where it says his children would meet together for parties. Everything. It says it in the future tense, but it doesn't mean they will, but it means they would. That's something they practiced. And you know, but to say whoever doesn't seek out God shall be put to death.
Yeah.
Seeking out God is it?
Unfair.
But it means to say like you have like David when he hears that someone stole the sheep, right? Remember he said, "Chai Hashem ki ben moves ha'isha," says those. This man is a dead man. It just means, you know, that he's used. I think the he's used b'derech haflogo. I gave you an example last week. I think even the man who lets his ox gore three times, who says he shall be put to death. That's not the halacha. What is the Torah saying? It's saying a man like this ought to die. People should be happy if he dies. He keeps letting his ox gore innocent people, you know, children or something. All right. Okay. I'd like to say that's the pshat here. Right. And they all took an oath. And they were all thrilled with the oath that they took. And by the way, what month is this? Third month. What takes place? Shavuos. So look at this. Isn't this beautiful? Shavuos, but the Shavuos is not because of an oath. Shavuos comes from the word week, Sheva. Hi, but you know what? I mentioned this last time also. Huh?
No.
That's the end. Okay, so there is a it's a Kli Yakar in Parshas Vayera. I think I meant to make a copy of it for you. Kli Yakar in Parshas Vayera explains why Avraham and the Plishtim made an oath and they named the place Be'er Sheva. Now, Sheva is clearly because there were seven sheep that they took. But there was also a Shvu, it's a pun. But he wants to say that Sheva, the cycle, the turn, you know, it has to do with the Shvua. The Shvua, that's something patently obvious, as if though it's an oath. Alright, but here in our story, there's no question that the oath and Shavuos come together, but in Chazal, by the wording of Chazal, you ever hear of it? Mushpa va'omed mehar Sinai, that we all took an oath at Mount Sinai to keep the Torah. It's called Mushpa va'omed mehar Sinai. When the Gemara Nazir asks, can a Nazir make kiddush on wine? What would be the havamin? Why are you asking? Because if to make kiddush on wine is a mitzvah of the Torah, then there's no such thing as a nazir. Because you can't take a shvua or a neder to undo a previous shvua. So if every Jew made a shvua to drink kiddush on wine because that's a mitzvah in the Torah, how can anyone come? So the Gemara says, "V'chi mushpav omid mehar Sinai hu?" Of course a nazir doesn't make kiddush on wine. It's not a mitzvah to make kiddush on wine. It's a mitzvah to say, "Berachat Hashem mikadosh Shabbos," right? And midrabbanan, we say, okay, make it on wine because the wine makes things special. Or you make kiddush? I'm sorry. When you grew up?
No, Sheyeshu
Khan
from. He's a
Nazir.
His father was a
Nazir.
His father, right?
It's not in the Torah.
No,
it's rabbinic. It's rabbinic
law.
Yeah. When he was in my house, he made kiddush on Khan. Probably grew up like that. Okay. Okay. Here's the mother. Now before she had a different name, remember? V'gam ma'acha eim asa ha-melech hesira migvira eshesh asher asasa la'asherah miflatzes v'yichros asa es miflatzda v'yodek v'yisrof b'nachal kidron. And she made a miflatzes. Now, a miflatzes must be something made of metal. Gemara says it's a very strange word. It's not clear what its shorish is even. Palatzus. Palatzus in the Tanakh is fear, great fear.
Today I think in Hebrew. Monster.
Oh, really? A mephletis. Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure somehow it sounds like
I don't know enough even to be able to say that. Okay. Well, palatus means something that instills horrific fear. The Yechuzem palatus, or monster, makes you fear. Right? Right? So he didn't kill them. No. What he did was he took. She had some kind of idol, and she had tapestries that she wove for the idol, and he cut down the idol, and he ground it down. By Yodek, by Yisrof, by Nachakidri, he cut it down, and he burnt the dust of it. Right. And he threw it into Nachal Kidron, which runs under Yerushalayim. Vabamos lo sirum Yisrael, rak levav asa hayashalem kol yamav. And the bamos, the high places where they offered sacrifices to God, the God that took them out of Egypt, but they did it outside of the precincts of the, right, of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So that continued to exist. That continued to never exist in Israel. Okay.
There's such a tree outside along Shvut, which ought to be cut down too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They said that people worshipped under it, you mean?
Yeah.
I saw one in Dan, because they actually found a Mizbeach there under the tree. It's an amazing leafy tree.
Amazingly featured there too. In my opinion, it should be cut.
When were you there? If you're in the summertime, you're out off the side of the tree. You are. It's 120 degrees. It's so hot up there. But when you go under the tree is so leafy. Any small wind, it's like an air conditioner under there. It's so. They're just a small little wind, and the leaves are making it like you have 100 people with it. And the leaves, the tree grows. Tree's roots must be way, way below because it goes through the ground. It's an amazing thing. Someone must have made the structure, but you're almost at the top of the tree because the tree itself, the root goes way down.
And there is tree outside a lunch where it is like that too.
And they say there was no question that this tree was worshipped under the tree because it's like an Asherah.
That's what they said too.
What kind of a tree?
So in Hosea HaNavi, the prophet who's a little after this, he says that the people love to worship these idols under these leafy trees, ki tov tzila, because its shade is pleasant. So, you know, you find these trees today that the shade is immensely pleasant, because especially in the summertime where it's very hot outside, and under there it's very comfortable. All right, So these high places, the Bamos, did not cease from Israel. The Bamos continued until the time of Chizkiyahu. Rak levav Asa haya shalem kol yamav. But the heart of Asa was full, totally with God his whole life. Ve'aveis kodshei aviv v'kodashav b'Yisrael Elohim kesef v'zahav v'chelim. And he brought all that his father had dedicated into the temple, to the house of God, gold and silver and vessels. Right? He had peace until his 35th year. Okay. Right. Let's read a little more about Asa. By Shnas Shloshim B'Sheish L'Machus Asa, Olo Basha Melech Yisrael Al Yehuda, Ve'yiven Es Harama L'Bilti Teis Yotzei V'Vo La Asa Melech Yehuda. In the 36th year of Asa, this awful, awful king, Basha. Woman's name is Bat Mitzvah. It's Basya, but they call him Basha. Right? Does anybody have an aunt Basha? So here is Basha was the king of Israel. Now, he did serve a purpose. It's because Yeravam ben Nevat's kingdom became so awful. The first king of the northern tribes. And his son ruled after him, but his son was also an idolater. But Hashem strengthened this guy Basha, not with an assassination, not with a prophet who came to him and said, God chooses you the way he did to Yeravam. No, he didn't deserve that. But this Basha took over the kingdom from Yeravam's family, so this is now the second dynasty, and he became even worse. And he wanted to fight the Yehuda down south. Right? Well, I understand why, because Asa had taken some cities from Ephraim. I want them back. And not only that, he put sentries along the border to the northern tribes and didn't allow any commerce. You can it's like a siege almost. Right? Now, of course, Yehuda can get food from the south, or they can get food from below the where the northern tribe border is. Okay, so Vayotze Aso Kesef Izov Meotzer is Beis Hashem or Beis HaMelech Vayishlach El Ben Hadad Melech HaRam Hayoshev Darmesek Lemor. I'm telling you, in Jewish history, this never goes well. Just never goes well. The Bible does not like when people do this.
It says in the Chumash not to do it.
So what he does is he takes gold and silver out of his treasuries, in order to pay the king of Aram. Why Aram? Because Aram is the next country to the north. It's today Syria. And he says, "Bris beini uveinecho ovein avi uvein avicha." It's a covenant between me and you, between my father and your father. Hine shalachti lecha kesef ezahav. I have sent you gold and silver. Silver and gold. Lecha fer brischa es basha melech Yisrael v'yale me'alai. Go and abrogate your covenant that you have forged with Basha and help me conquer him. Now, from the standpoint of Aram, which nation would you prefer to have a peace pact with? The northern kingdom or the southern kingdom? The north, that's your border. Right? But Aram is sitting pretty right now. Did you read, I read this in the papers recently, someone paid someone $100,000 to make a hit. It's a Jewish family, actually. Russian Jewish family. They paid a person $100,000 to kill the father. The parents were going through a very messy divorce with child custody. This is the last week. So they paid someone $100,000 to kill the father. So the father found out. He paid him $125,000 not to kill me. So he bought off the hitman. So he'll get another hitman. But the guy's already paid. They paid $50,000 up front, and after you kill him, I'll pay the other $50,000. So he paid him up front something, and then the other guy found out, and he paid him more in order not to kill me. So here's what is happening here. Basha pays Aram for a peace pact. And now Asa is paying him in addition to not keep your promise to him. Ah, but if once you get a reputation, that you're bought this way, who else is going to ever make a peace pact with you? But let's see whether Basha was bored or not. Vayishma ben Hadad el HaMelech Asa. So the king of Aram heard, listened to Asa. Vayishlach esarecha yalima shelo el orei Yisrael. He sent soldiers to the cities of the north. Vayakuas iyon ves don ves ovel mayim ves kol miskano sarei Naphtali. What? He conquered these cities in the very far north, and also he conquered some cities from Naphtali. Come on, these are Israelites. These are your cousins. How are you hiring Aram to conquer northern tribes? Hey, right? When Basha heard that some of his cities to the north were conquered by Aram, that Asa took an end run around him, so he let go of the siege. Right? Asa got what he wanted. He got an end to the siege, right? Thus our Melech Lakachas call Yehuda Veisu as Avnei Arama Veisitzeh Asher Bana Basha Veivim Bahem as Geva Veis HaMitzpah. So what Asa do? What Basha was doing to build this siege, this like wall around the north, around the border between the north and Yehuda, he let it go, and Asa took all the wood that he was building. Can you picture what this must have looked like? Like the Great Wall of China around there. These huge ramparts and these huge, stagings. So, and he took all the wood and used it to other things. Right? At that time, a prophet named Hanani. You ever hear of him? He's not in Malachim. Bezayahu, Odeid, Hanani, Ido. Vayomer elav, b'yishanecha al melech Aram, v'lo nishanta al Hashem elokecha. What's the matter with you? You're relying on Aram to help you? I tell you the right away that the northern tribes are terribly wicked. This is Divrei Hayamim Asa. The wicked fall right away in Divrei Hayamim. Just have faith in Hashem. Right? Why did you rely on the king of Aram to conquer your cousins in the north? I'm not liking this. Hello, Akushim ba'aluvim hayu l'chayel l'rov l'rechav l'parshim l'harbe ma'od uvishon chol Hashem nisan abiyadecha. Didn't you fight last week? Didn't you fight a much more sophisticated army with many more people against the people of Ethiopia? Where there were many more of them? And you defeated them with the help of God because you relied on God. God's eyes are throughout the world. He knows what's in a person's heart. And He always makes people successful if they have their hearts with Him. Niskalta azos. What's the shorish of niskalta? It's one of those interesting Hebrew words. Sochol. Seichel means niskalta, sochol with a samach, but it's the same. It's seichel and sochol. It's foolish. Right? Niskalta lo shamarta is dvar Hashem lakecha, says Shmuel to Shaul. Niskalta azos. You made a silly decision. Ki miato yeshim chamil chamos. Now you're going to have to fight these guys. If you didn't rely on help from Aram, you would have been able to take over Aram, actually. Instead, you're going to fall to them. Okay. Vayichas asa el haroeh, vayitzneu beis hamapeches, ki bezaaf imo al zos. Asa, what's going on with this? You can't hear Musa.
Yeah, it's an old age.
Asa was angered at the Ro'eh. The Ro'eh is the prophet. Vayitzneu beis hamapeches. He put him into the mapeches. Mapeches is the stocks. He put him in prison. He incarcerated him. Ki bezafi mo'al azos. He became very angered on this. Because Asa began to be such a good king and so successful for 35 years. He only ruled 641 years, so he was only king for a short time. Sorry, Asa, you could have ruled a lot longer. Because you look how you behave. Someone gives you mussar on something, you can't accept it, you can't take it. You're behaving like Shaul. Right? Vayiratzeitz asa min ha'am ba'isahi. Vayiratzeitz. What is it? Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas, told us when it says Vayisrotzitzu habanim b'kirba. So Rashi's not sure if the shorish of that is Ritza or Ritzitza. So Rashi gives two perushim. One where they're fighting, that's Ritzitza, Ratzat says to fight. And one where they're running. He's going this way, he's going that way. They're running. They're not fighting, they're just running. Maybe the shorish is roots, not Ratzat. Okay. So Ratzat means to fight. Okay. But Ratzat's Asa min ha'am ba'isahi. Asa started to, he started to lose it. He had no equilibrium. Sort of like the way David became after what he did with Bathsheba. Or worse, after what he did to Uriah. He lost his moral equilibrium. Just parenthetically, Chazal say that when Pinchas skewered those two people in front of the Almoed, that Hashem gives him a brisi shalom. It meant bris, that your harmony should not be jarred by performing such a horrible, violent act. Doesn't matter what your intention was, such a violent act is likely to affect you. Alright? V'hinei divrei asa rishonim v'achonim hinam k'suvim al sefer ha-malachim li'Yehuda v'Yisrael. You know? You can see other stories about Asa in Sefer ha-malachim. The book is called just Sefer Malachim. Here it's called Sefer ha-malachim. No, there are, Asa is mentioned. This story is not in Malachim. Right. Okay, but Yechalot, now these last few psukim in the parak are very interesting. Vayechalot Asa became sick. It's with an olive, but right, became a chola. Bishnas 39th l'malchuso, in his 39th year, he would rule another year or two. Where was he sick? Baraglov. Some say he suffered from gout. Baraglov, he was sick in his feet. Adla malachol yo. I can tell you what it's like to not be able to walk. His sickness was adlamala. It drove everything he did. Right? Look what it says. V'gam b'chol yo lo darash es Hashem ki berofim. What is the gam? Gam. Even in his sickness. What do you mean? Even because earlier, when he was threatened from the north, come on, Asa, when you were younger, you called out to God at such a time. Right? So he didn't call out to God in battle, and even in his sickness, he didn't call out to God. Instead, where did he go? To the doctors. What's wrong with that?
Doctors have a very poor reputation.
So, Ben Ezra uses this pasuk to teach that you're allowed to go to a doctor. Because it says, Rak shifto yitain v'rapo yirapei. It says in this week's parasha. It says, if a man is sick, if a man is beats another man, and he makes him lose work, and he makes him, he has to pay his bills. He has to pay his doctor bills. He has to pay his loss of work. He has to pay his embarrassment. He has to pay his tsar, his pain. He has to pay for damages. He has to pay all kinds of things. And in addition, doctor bills.
Yeah.
Right? Ibn Ezra writes on this pasuk. He says, the reason why there are doctor bills there is because a person hit him. Because Ibn Ezra is very difficult, I can tell you. He says, but if you have a pain in your side, and it's not because of something a person did. So if the pain is because I'm wearing bad shoes and I'm twisting my leg, okay, you know what the pain is, you know what caused it, go to a doctor. But if the pain is just coming in from inside, you don't know what caused it. Comes from God, and only God can deal with it. That Ibn Ezra is not the halacha. It's just not the halacha. But he writes what he writes. He says, otherwise, why would God be angry with us? So the Ramban writes, I'll tell you what God was angry with us. Because you're a king, and you have a prophet. Go to a prophet first. Don't go to the doctor first. Make a mishaberach first. And then go to the doctor.
Right? He doesn't say he did that second.
Lo darash b'Hashem at all. It's worse than Shaul. We said a couple of weeks ago that he didn't... Yeah, at least Shaul went to God first, and then he went to a necromancer. Right? Necromancy is totally usher, but it's not usher to go to a. It says in Bava Kama, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to a doctor if you don't know if you. It's a mitzvah to be healthy. Right? When someone asked the Tajbet somehow some years later about this Ibn Ezra, he said Ibn Ezra, this is Amaratsis.
You could go to Hashem to ask for
A help that
help the doctor.
The doctor. Exactly, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, absolutely. There's a bracha for that, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Right. So, that's how we have to explain this. He ruled for 41 years. That's up way up there. Only a few kings ruled more than that. In fact, only two. Azariah, 52 years, and Menashe, 55 years. He was beloved. They set him down to rest, and they filled the place with incenses and misamim. You know what that is? That's spices. What's znim? Have you heard that word? Znim. What is that? What's the singular of that word? Zne? What is nim? What does it say about you? Also spices, probably, right? Rashi says,
mini
besom.
They made a pyre?
No, perfume only.
Perfumes. Say, Vesufu lo srefa means that they would burn some of his personal effects. They didn't want anyone else to use what he used, not even his son, not even another king. He'll burn his saddle or his, you know, something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
His pillow, some things that he himself would use. Right.
Yeah.
They sufu lo srefa means that they did that in the ancient world. Like in Yirmiyahu, remember Yirmiyahu told Yehoiakim, people despise you. You know, when you die, no one's going to make a burning for you. In other words, it was a...
So this was not mentioned at all in Malachim. Does Asa appear to be only good in Malachim?
In Malachim, the rabbis have a different issue with Asa, is that it says that he built a lot of like some Shlomo problems. He built a lot of things, and he made everybody come out to do his work for him. It says that, and he even used the lashon. No one was innocent. No one was naki. No one was exempt. Good, that's right. No one was exempt from Asa's heavy work.
His own people. He didn't go to another
right,
country.
Right. And it says that he put people to work too much.
And that's one of the problems with people in power. They try to stop building like crazy. Herod had the same problem.
Oh, this is in Melachim Aleph Perek Tezvav, but I'm just looking where it says page 848. That's where he sent money to. Pasuk.
Yudches. Vayikach also. Kol hakesef v'hazov. Hanosimi. Altsaros. Beis Hashem.
Pasuk Chaf Beis. It's the lashon. Hamelech Asa Hishmiat Kol Yehudav Ein Noki. No one was free. Everyone had to go and show up, and everyone had to do what they was building. No one was exempt. Hey, uses your word. The word you said. No one was exempt. Ein naki. It's an usual word. We're saying exempt. Just what Irving said. Okay, we'll stop with that.